This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life. I am Matt Rooney. This is the Matt Rooney Show. Ho, ho, ho. It's feeling a little bit holiday-ish outside, isn't it? The frost is long since on the pumpkin. It is cold. Christmas lights are going up all over the place, and elections are done. The holiday season is upon us, and that means it's time for the Matt Rooney Show to look at the year gone by to prepare you for what lies ahead, and much does. We do it better than anyone else here on 1210 WPHT. I am, of course, joined once again on this episode by a very patient man, because I've been having a lot of technical difficulties on this particular episode. He is our Latinx, Gen Z, millennial interpreter. He's somebody who's cross-generational. He is our Latinx correspondent, and he knows his way around the board, the one, the only, Dan Valdez.
I would say multi-generational to go with that.
Multi-generational.
Yeah, I've been around for many generations, my man.
Not multigrain.
No, multi-generational. Who eats multigrain bread?
Pfft, terrible. It's been an ongoing thing in my house. My wife keeps trying to get the multigrain bread, and I keep ordering the hearty white.
I'm fine with white or rye or marble.
Rye or marble. Okay. Yeah, I like a good rye bread, especially when I'm dipping it in something.
I love a good potato bread, too.
Potato bread, quite good. I like potato rolls in the summer when I'm making smash burgers.
Got to get Martin's.
But I love me hearty white, because that's also, incidentally, my blood type, hearty white. If anybody needs
that was your nickname in college, wasn't it?
No, I wasn't quite
as... law school.
I got a little more hearty in law school.
Okay.
I still moved around a little bit in college.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm mistaken for heartless. Heartless.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, that's a job requirement here. That's a job requirement here at 1210 WPHT, right?
Yeah, that's what they asked when I got hired. Are you heartless? Yes, sir. You're hired.
Are you white? Well, in your case, 7/8.
Cool. You start tomorrow. They have to fill the DEI requirement.
That's right. That's how we get our federal funding.
Yeah.
Remember, you can check out our program every Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, or you can get all of this fantastic, decidedly politically incorrect and often triggering commentary over wherever quality podcasts can be found. Make sure that you subscribe. A lot of stuff to unpack tonight, and on top of all of that, we're going to be joined a little bit later in the program by two of our faves, Carlos Cruz and Tom Szymanski, veteran New Jersey operatives. We're not going to talk too much about the election results, because candidly, it's starting to depress me at this point. What they're here to talk about is, what do we do now? That's the discussion. Everyone is in full-on panic mode at the moment, just assuming that the midterms are gone and lost. Youthful Americans such as Dan Valdez are gone from the Trump coalition. There's just no way to get them back. A lot of glooming and dooming out there. And at this almost holly jolly time of year, we're almost there. I like it. I'm an optimist by nature. Yes, I grieved following November 4th for a couple days. I still got up. I still worked. I still lived my life. I didn't shave, which I've been trying to do more often lately, even though my face is still too fat to be bare, which is why most men like to have beards, Daniel.
I have one.
You do have one, but for you, that's to give you volume. You're not hardy white enough. You're lean white. You're zero carb white.
No, I use Maybelline for volume.
Maybe Dan's bored with it.
Maybe
it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline. I haven't seen one of those commercials in a long time. Is that still a thing?
I don't know. They're probably frauds.
How would you know? Have you tried it?
I don't know. I have a Bella who's not extremely against, but she doesn't use it. So,
yeah, I was going to say, how's that something you could be extremely against? The shampoo bring it out, people?
There's just, it's not shampoo.
What do you mean it's not shampoo? Isn't that what Maybelline is?
Maybelline?
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's makeup, yeah.
Is it makeup?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they make a shampoo.
I'm not talking about the shampoo. I mean, even then I don't use that either.
Oh, you're right. It is cosmetics.
Yeah.
See, that goes to show you how much care I take of myself.
But there's certain things that I'm allowed to put on my face, and they have to be Bella approved.
Bella does your shopping for you?
No, but she does skincare for a living, so.
Oh, she does?
She has to make sure that everything that goes on my beautiful face is.
Can she do something for me?
Less wrinkles.
You went right for the jugular there, didn't you?
I mean, yeah. She can make you look pretty.
No, I don't think anybody can make me look pretty at this point, Dan.
She can make you look pretty. At your little Rooney party, she'll bring a little makeup kit, she'll bring you down, make you the Grinch or whatever. I don't know.
I need moisturizer. Does she have a moisturizer for me?
She has lots of moisturizers.
Is Bella in the background?
Yes.
Tell her to get over here and ask her what works for a 41-year-old male with crow's feet.
All right, I'll ask that on the break.
All right, well, I need a consult.
Okay, all right.
All right, so that is now the number one priority of tonight's program. Not unpacking the disaster that was 2025. Not talking about the John Fetterman clip that everybody's chattering about. Not discussing the end of the historically long 7-week shutdown. We got to make me pretty for the holidays.
Yeah.
And the implication of what you're talking about right now is that you're coming to my Christmas party.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, see, I didn't know that.
My people have responded to your people. Actually, that hasn't happened yet. I haven't RSVP'd, but my people have talked with one another, and we have just collectively decided that we will be at the Rooney Wig 2025.
That's huge.
Huge,
this is huge breaking news. Well, you're not going to be disappointed. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Are we going to have, like, snowball fights and fire pits and sleepovers and pillow fights?
I mean, we can definitely do those last three. I can't promise you snow.
And I'm not coming.
How about this? How about you and Bella stand outside the back door? I'll go upstairs and I'll dump some flour out the window.
Okay. I thought you wanted me to stand outside with the leaf blower, and I'll blow flour all over to make it look like snow.
Dan thinks he's being invited as a guest. He's coming to work. He's the snow guy.
Yeah. Yep. I knew it.
Yeah, you knew it. You knew it. But it's going to be a fun and dandy program tonight. We're going to lift your spirits. We're probably going to make you laugh a little bit. We're also going to educate you. We'll also confound you. That's when we get to the end of the program and we do Twit Talk, which is always disturbing and illuminating in equal measure, I think, anyway. I know you do, Daniel, because it's your favorite segment.
Yeah, it's the one I spend the most time for.
How much preparation does Twit Talk take you?
The whole week.
So throughout the week, you're gathering things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, I do my job once in a while.
Once in a while.
Yeah, throughout the week, I find the videos and I just save them because I have a folder on my TikTok literally called Matt Rooney Show. And I just save them there. And then it takes me about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to actually pull them.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
See, this is the process, folks. These are the things that people usually don't find out about until the tell-all book that comes out years later after the cancellation.
Yeah, this is the, inside radio that people don't need to know.
Yeah. No, that's right. Sometimes it gets messy. I was supposed to be on Kale and Company on Tuesday to do my post-election wrap-up, and Greg got a little angry. I don't know if you heard about this.
No.
They were unable to establish my connection. They were out in Horsham or somewhere.
For
Veterans Day event. And I was supposed to zoom in, and it did not go well. I'm pretty sure someone got beaten.
Pesky rascals.
Yeah, there was an echo.
Yeah.
And we had to just bag the whole thing.
Mm.
I know, right?
What a shame.
Yeah, no, we're going to have to redo Veterans Day at this point.
Too bad we're just a weekend show, you know what I mean?
Too bad we're just a weekend show. Too bad we're just a weekend show.
Yep.
Well, let's see. Let's dig into the news here. Can I tell you the thing this week that actually happened that I find the most consequential? There's so many things to talk about. There's no more pennies.
Yeah.
We're never going to see another new penny. And the last penny of all time was struck on Wednesday in Philadelphia at the U.S. Mint. Did you ever do the U.S. Mint trip when you were a kid?
No, but I work across the street from it a lot.
I thought that was going to be a much better anecdote than it ended up being.
No.
No, but guess what? I drive by it.
No, I'm there pretty much every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the final penny ever was struck on Wednesday at the Philly Mint. The penny has been in continuous production in this country since 1793.
Useless change.
Well, here's the question, though. And I understand the problem, because apparently now it costs something like 4 or 5 cents to produce every individual penny. So you can see where the mathematics of that just doesn't work. And obviously inflation, I mean, how many things do you buy anymore that are only a penny? But what happens if you need the change? What if you need an odd number of cents? How do you deal with that now?
I believe they're going to start rounding up.
They're going to start rounding up?
So if I heard this correctly, or if I am just not hearing at all, I believe they're either going to round to like a five or a whole. So you can use a dime, a quarter, or a nickel. So like 5, 10, 15.
Well, how the hell do you do that? It's going to be illegal to charge someone an odd number?
No. Also, a penny nowadays is worth to mint a penny, 3.69 cents.
3.69. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said four or five, so I was in the ballpark. Now, not true of dimes and quarters. So a dime only costs about 6 cents, and a quarter is 15. So they're still cost effective.
Yeah.
So we got that going for us. So
yeah. So to answer your question, cash transactions. Totals are being rounded to the nearest 5 cents. If it's ending in 1 or 2 cents, they're rounded down. All right. While those ending in 3 and 4 cents are rounded up, amounts ending in 6 or 7 cents are rounded down, and those ending in 8 or 9 cents are rounded up. So if you have a 10.22 total, that would be rounded to 10.20. And a 10.23 total would be rounded to 10.25.
Where are you getting this from?
The interwebs.
I like that I have you using the interwebs now.
Because
That's what it's called, because it's sticky and you get stuck in it.
Yeah. Some of the companies that are going without pennies, McDonald's, Annie Ann's, Cinnabon, Carval, Wendy's, Kroger, Quick Trip, Giant Eagle, Sheetz, all them kind of companies, I think so far have already started it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
It's the end of an era. Think about how different the world was when I came into it, Daniel. We had payphones. We had pennies. We didn't have internet. You had to wait for your favorite television show to come on. You couldn't listen to the Matt Rooney Show anytime you wanted to.
And by payphones, you mean two cans and a string?
Yes. Which is actually how we record the Matt Rooney Show.
Yes. Yep.
It's a very, very long piece of string.
Yeah. Miles even.
Yes. It's like a transatlantic underwater cable.
Yep.
Yeah. So we got that going on for us. Something else we're going to have to touch on tonight, folks, much less pleasant than the penny, is the latest attempt to smear the president of the United States. This is probably after we just set a record for the longest shutdown of all time, going to enter the Guinness Book of World Records as the shortest attempt to smear Trump of all time. The revelation that allegedly there's an email confirming Donald Trump's role in some shady Epstein stuff. And then we find out that they were redacted documents, and it involves the same young lady who previously said that no, Trump didn't have anything to do with these shady activities, and Democrats are backpedaling so quickly, they're in danger of tripping over themselves and getting seriously hurt. Let me just give you a couple quick examples. This is cut three, Tokyo Red Jen Psaki, who wanted to slander Donald Trump and did, but then rolled it right on back, probably because she saw flashing before her eyes a massive multi-million dollar judgment.
In supporting what Donald Trump is doing.
You're talking about the other predators out there, in addition to Trump. I'm not saying he is. We don't know all the details about that. I just mean in addition to what we've learned about Epstein and others, there's other predators out there.
There are, and we have to remember that Alex Acosta, when he...
Yeah, just look at Chris Hansen.
Isn't it crazy, though, how just casually they slander people and defame people?
News media, what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, but like she's what that clip demonstrates is she's conscious of it in the moment when she's doing it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not, oh, I read some information on air that was incorrect that at the time I had reason to believe was accurate, found out later it wasn't, and I apologize. Donald Trump's not a predator. They can't help themselves. And I got to say, I mean, Dan, I mean, maybe you feel differently about this, but I'm at the point where we're already in a country where you're innocent until proven guilty. I apply that several times over to Donald Trump. When Donald Trump gets accused of something like this by the same cabal, have we reached a point where it's appropriate to provide or supply a higher level of skepticism to the accusation? And the timing of this week, look, you found out about it on the day that they ended the damn shutdown, right? You found out about it on the same day that a former Newsom aide landed in serious legal trouble. The guy who, even though we're light years away from that presidential contest, is arguably the front runner for the 2028 Democrat nomination at the moment. You've seen this movie before, and yet some, even on the conservative side of the aisle, the right, MAGA, whatever you want to call it, on social media, out there in the interwebs, they still fall for the bait every time. They're that person in the movie theater that even though they know someone's going to jump out from behind the couch or from behind the door, still screams and drops their popcorn. Maybe it's just they like getting fooled. Now, I think in the case of someone like Jen Psaki, it's because she wants to believe it, and even more than that, it's a part of her business model, keeping people outraged at Donald Trump is a big business, arguably not as big as it used to be. But let's not underestimate the legacy media's ability to still play on people's emotions. I will be the first one to admit that I needed the reminder of Tuesday that the lamestream media is still very much in the game and has the ability to manipulate large numbers of people. It's why a lot of these elections turned into landslides. They actually convince people that their current woes are the responsibility of the president who spent the past several months trying to undo them. Frustrating as all hell. We're going to dig into a little bit more of that on the other end of the break, and obviously plenty more here on this edition of The Matt Rooney Show. Remember, subscribe to the podcast over at Spotify, Amazon, iTunes, wherever you can get your hands on it. Let's take a break. Let's play some ads. Let's make some money. We'll be back in a sec.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
My wife is making fun of me over here. She goes, "You thought Maybelline was a shampoo?" I said, I don't know. They have all kinds of stuff. They have stuff for your nails. They've got moisturizer. I thought they made shampoo too.
Nah, it's mainly
sunscreen.
Yeah, it's mainly a cosmetics brand.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've always got women on television and these ads, throwing about their luxurious hair.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, it serves you right for not knowing Maybelline and she's making fun of you.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. I've got a lot to learn.
But you don't go into Ulta's?
What is Ulta's?
You don't know what Ulta is?
I don't know what Ulta is.
Oh my God.
Help a brother out here.
It's a makeup store.
Is it at the mall? Where you kids go hang out with your skateboards?
Some of them are attached, yeah. Some of them are usually just standalones, but how do you not know what Ulta is?
I don't know what an Ulta is.
Do you know what Sephora is?
I've seen Sephora's. I couldn't tell you what they sell, but like I've heard that's a name I've heard.
Your wife's got to start taking you to these places.
I don't go to the store.
See, that's the problem with this generation, man. You guys always be ordering on Amazon. You don't go out and socialize anymore. Always that damn phone.
Always be ordering on Amazon. It's true. I've got like three things that I buy for myself.
It's always
I've got the crap I put in my hair just to get it out of my face. That's one thing I buy. Occasionally, I purchase a stick of deodorant when I'm running low, but sometimes my wife will get it for me when she's at the store anyway. And that's only two things. That's not three things.
See, I have to get my face wash from Ulta because
I get razors.
I get my face wash from Ulta or Giant. Not Giant, Target, because they're like the same thing. But
you go and buy face wash.
I have to. It's the approved one of the lovely Bella.
But why do you need a special face wash? Can't you just use a bar of soap?
No.
Why?
Don't ever say that because you can't. I'm the wrong person to ask. You know, I was just told you can't use it.
This needs more explanation. This needs a lot more explanation. I just asked Google AI. It says men need face wash to remove dirt, oil, sweat, and other impurities that can clog pores and cause issues like acne, blackheads, and dullness. Why is dullness a concern for me? Why does my skin need a natural luster?
Do you want me to bring her over here? I can ask.
Ask her. I'm very curious. I also want to know how many products you use.
All right, she's coming over. You can ask her. It's your show. You can ask her. All right, go ahead.
Bella, why does Dan need a special designated face wash? Why can't he just use a bar of soap?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't be using bars of soap on your face because they're not good for your skin. They dry you out really bad, and they also strip your skin barrier, make you more prone to breakouts.
What's my skin barrier? Is that the natural oils on my face?
Yeah, it's like the protective layer that your skin has.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's not allowed to use bar soap because of that.
Have you noticed an improvement? Because he looks the same to me.
I mean, his skin isn't as dry as it was. Especially in the winter, he gets really flaky and very dry. So this kind of helps with that. I make him put on hyaluronic acid moisturizer in the winter, too. Sometimes Aquaphor.
How many things is Dan on? And why hasn't he disclosed these to his employer?
Are we including drugs or not?
No, that's a different episode. Okay. Right now, we're just concerned about topical applications.
Honest to God, he does not use nearly as much stuff as I do.
Well, I mean...
It's true.
What kind of measure is that, though?
Well, I mean, I have a very in-depth skincare routine.
Okay.
Like, very in-depth.
Well, maybe let's play it this way. Dan, how long does it take you to get ready in the morning when you're applying all these creams and lotions and balms?
I don't do it at night.
Although you should.
I do it at night. I don't do it in the morning.
You should do it in the morning.
I put my face wash on in the shower at night, and I go about the day, and then I do it again at night.
I mean, this could be why I look like crap, Bella, because I use shampoo, and then whatever I use for the rest of me, a bar of soap or whatever, I put a little on my hand, and then I just clean my face.
Yeah, don't use a bar of soap. It's not good.
All right.
You're also using the Maybelline shampoo.
Yeah, I thought Maybelline made shampoo, Bella.
Yeah, no, they're a makeup brand. At least as far as I know.
It looks like they've got a lot of different stuff. They've branched out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel's not allowed to use soap. His face is really sensitive, though, too, so I feel like if he put a bar of soap on his face, it would not be good.
I had no idea you had such sensitive skin, Dan.
He's very sensitive skin.
I get it from my dad.
We have to use special laundry detergent. He's like a baby.
No.
I swear. I have to use like clean and like clear and clear free and clear. Like laundry detergent, and I have to use unscented deodorant too, or all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Why are you laughing? This is a serious topic. It's effed up, man.
I agree. I agree that it is effed up. We can agree on that much.
When I was a wee little lad.
When he was brought in, this small little 1/8 Hispanic guy with lots of hives because of his natural environment irritating him.
Actually, yes. I put on Axe deodorant one time and I broke out in hives and I'm like, I don't like this. My mom's like, yeah, you got to go to the doctor. The doctor's
maybe it was
like,
just the Axe deodorant. I think anybody that uses Axe deodorant is degenerate.
You heard it here first.
Bold opinion, but I'm not sure everyone would disagree with that.
Listen, it's disgusting. My brother used to come in and spray Axe deodorant in my room when we were little just to spite me.
Oh, that is terrible.
Yeah, he's evil.
Oh, it's like passing out in a gross club.
He was evil.
At the time. Well, all little brothers go through an evil stage.
Yeah.
So, Bella, were I to decide, you know what, I'm in my 40s now, I need to have a face that doesn't look like a worn-out leather mitt, you could provide me with certain consulting services.
To an extent. I mean, you've waited quite a long time to start an actual skincare routine, so there's some things you can't reverse, unfortunately.
So you're telling me I have stage 4 ugly. That's what you're... That's what Bella's telling me.
You could use some retinol and vitamin C. Those are good for aging. Maybe some hyaluronic acid for dryness. It's always an end-all, be-all product.
What kind of acid is this? Could you say that slower?
Hyaluronic acid.
Hyaluronic.
It's not actually an acid.
It's actually hydrochloric acid.
No.
Now that explains a lot.
The stuff they put in pools.
Right.
Brother.
Dan just sticks his head in a pool filter.
They say the chlorine's good for the skin.
That's actually false.
Well, I've been given a very dire diagnosis here, but I hope, Bella, you can still try to help me, at least a little bit.
Yeah, you know, like I said.
I'm not trying to look 20. I'm just trying to look like, you know, maybe like 37.
I mean, there's also Trenton Owen, but you have to get that prescribed. But that stuff is crazy.
Oh, no, we don't talk about Trenton on this program.
No, Trenton Owen.
No, we don't talk about Trenton.
Okay, whatever. Trenton Owen.
Do you stick your head in the Delaware? Is that how you get Trenton Owen?
Yes. What? Yes. She's talking about Trenton, New Jersey. We don't talk about
that.
No,
I'm not talking about... You know what? I'll let you think whatever you want to think.
Yeah, she's being helpful, Daniel. Damn it.
Yeah, Daniel. Daniel Ethan.
We have to wind up the show soon anyway, Daniel Ethan, because I think you need a couple hours to do your nighttime routine, right?
Yeah, like no, 3.5.
No,
to be
it
precise.
Takes me like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I got to look into this Trent Owen stuff because I do have dark spots on my face.
There you go.
All right, so Bella, I will be calling you.
That's what happens when you live with an esthetician, an esty bestie, as they say.
Oh, I want an esty bestie.
No.
What do you mean no?
I mean, you know what? Sure. An esty bestie.
Yes. My wife has like the face mask stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, what about the thing that people wear that's got like a black light in it? Is that legit?
Yes.
Are you just saying that or do you
know? No,
do you
know? I believe she has one. Her mom and her share it.
Okay. All right.
A black light.
Yeah, this thing that shoots black light stuff at your face. You look like you're from Star Wars or something.
Let me explain. I don't have a black light in the skincare field. That's called a Woods lamp. I don't have one of those. They're very expensive. But I do have an LED light with different colors. And I do have a new face, which is a microcurrent device for skin tightening.
Skin tightening?
Yeah.
And that's wrinkle retardation, I guess, right? You're just trying to eliminate
pretty
your...
much.
Okay.
It's basically, when I worked at Hand in Stone, the way that I would describe it to customers was that it's like a workout for your face. Because a lot of people don't understand what microcurrent is or how it works. So the best way to describe it is like a workout for your face. It stimulates the muscle to kind of help firm everything back up.
Okay. All right. I've got some work to do. I've got some homework to do. But I appreciate this, Bella.
Esty bestie advice of the night.
Our Esty bestie. Thank you, Bella. She really is swell. You outkicked your coverage on that one, Daniel.
Yeah, didn't I?
You really did. Now, that's a separate issue from the fact that you have to turn in your man card at the conclusion of this program, because we now know that you have a skincare regime.
It's kind of the same one that I've always had. It's just what I use is approved by her, but it's the same like routine that I've had.
So you, let's back up for a second, because it wasn't as bad because you've got you've got this lovely, beautiful girlfriend. So no one would think less of you if she talked you into it. Right?
Correct.
But the fact that you did this before you were together with Bella, I think that's the implication right now. That's a little strange.
I had it because I didn't really have bad acne when I was going through like middle school and high school. So I had like an acne soap. And then when I started dating Bella, she was like, please don't ever use this in front of my presence ever again. And she kind of threw it away. And that's when I got the soap that I use now.
And that's when you knew it was love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's his Esty bestie.
We'll work on it.
The best part about this is when inevitably Stalker and Frank get around to listen to it. They're like, hold on. I thought the Matt Rooney show was on Saturday nights. When did we get the Esthetician Hour?
When did we get Beauty Hour on 12:10?
Yeah. It's a new program.
Sorry, we still have like five more segments to talk about politics.
Yeah.
God forbid the men just want to talk, you know?
God forbid. God forbid we just want to dish to one another about makeup. Not apologizing for that. I forgot to play my other Epstein clut, though. We could do that to cleanse our palate here. That's right. Yeah. We're gonna get back to the important things in life, like dead pedophiles. This is CNN, who, much like Jen Psaki over on MSNBC, backtracking after almost slandering Donald Trump. This cut quattro for our bilingual listeners.
Dean, that mentioned the president, and we do want to be clear, the president, Trump, did not receive or send any of the messages, which largely predated his time as president. He's not been accused of any criminal wrongdoing in connection with Epstein or Maxwell. The White House.
Yeah.
So a disclaimer that takes all of the juice out of the story before it's even squeezed.
Yeah, they're basically saying, hey, this is false, but we're going to tell you anyway.
That's exactly right. We know that some of you, this is how you get your jollies, and keeping you ticked off is how you go to the polls and vote for Democrats and we win.
Yeah.
We're going to do it anyway. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And look, for those of you that are annoyed when Donald Trump calls it or a hoax, the Epstein scandal, we've been saying it for years, right? You take Trump seriously. You don't always take every single thing literally. That's a mistake. Donald Trump isn't really literally saying that the Epstein situation's no big deal. I mean, before it was cool to hate Jeffrey Epstein, Trump is the one that banned him from his club. So he was ahead of the game in figuring out who Jeffrey Epstein really was before most of you even knew of his existence, neither he or his infamous island, okay? But the key here when it comes to the Donald Trump angle is that, once again, there is such an inclination to want to believe evil in someone who has done nothing but try to improve this country despite getting shot at. And not just shot at, actually shot. And it just, I'll be honest with you, it's starting to tick me off, right? When you're in the public eye, when you're a public official, you expect that people are going to say mean and nasty things about you, right? You're going to have Bella come on air and tell me that I'm too old for her products. That was awfully mean tonight, but as a semi-public figure, There's nothing I can do about that. I just have to suck some of it up. But, I mean, how many more times are we going to stand here and allow this guy to be lied about and defamed without any evidence before we finally say enough? I think the only thing to possibly do is just for allow Donald Trump to continue suing them and rack up giant judgments. It's the only way. But when he says it's a hoax, this is what he's referring to. This is what he's referring to. He's not saying that it's a scandal that doesn't matter. He's saying that obviously this story is being manipulated to not focus on the victims, not focus on the real perpetrators here, but as an attempt to bring down the president of the United States. And you want to know why they haven't released the records? I don't have any inside information, but once again, you probably got a clue in this latest twist in the story. Do you really think after 4 years of Joe Biden, whatever evidence exists over at the basement of the DOJ, do you think it's not compromised? Do you think it hasn't been messed with? You have to use a little bit of common sense here, folks. Not a lot of common sense, just a little bit is required. That's all we ask here on the Matt Rooney Show. We're going to take a break. We're going to go apply some moisturizer or whatever it is that Dan is offering up and willing to share. And we'll be back with more of our show in a moment. Don't move a muscle.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
The Epstein stuff is just the tip of the iceberg, if we're being honest. One of the worst out there in the country right now. He almost makes Cory Booker seem quasi-tolerable from time to time. Chris Murphy, United States Senator Chris Murphy. Do you know who I'm talking about, Daniel?
Yeah, Chris Murphy, the United States Senator.
Jesus Christmas. I set him up, folks, and he just knocks it out of the park every time. He's
the senator from Connecticut.
From Connecticut. Now you're using Google.
Yeah, I did.
But that's okay. That's fine. I didn't say that you couldn't take the test without using the internet, so that's okay.
It's true.
He's another guy that's running for president or has some interest in national office. That's clear. And he evidences that by trying to be especially shrill when the topic of Donald Trump arises over on social media, which when does it not? Chris Murphy appeared during a town hall in New Hampshire, which is a state you don't go to. Right, unless you're looking at presidential politics. And at this town hall, he leaned into the democracy angle, which we know has become one of the Democrats' favorites. But on the scale of hyperbole, 1 to 10, I think he hit 11. Listen to this one. This is cut cinco.
On 2020, you're here in New Hampshire, potentially an early primary voting state. You thinking about running for president? Is that something on the table for you?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I am not in this sense. What a fool any of us would be to be planning to run in an election that may not happen. and I'm serious about that. All of our energy right now, all of our energy has to be on this project of saving our democracy. None of us should presume that there's going to be, again, a free and fair election where any Democrat has a shot to win in 2020.
He sounds like he's about to cry.
I was trying to figure out whether it was intentional play acting or not, or if he just kind of sounds that way.
He had that like little quiver in his voice. I'm like, is this guy okay?
Yeah, we may never even have an election ever again. It was a little Jimmy Stewart-esque, but without any of the charm. Mary, we're never gonna have an election. We're never gonna be able to vote, Mary.
We won't. My time voting is done. I got now, a couple good years.
You're a fair-minded individual.
I'd like to think so.
Except when it comes to me.
Correct.
What is happening right now in our country, Daniel, that would lead you to believe that we are in danger of not having elections anymore?
Nothing. There's always going to be an election. We're just overreacting over everything. for some reason, apparently, you know, requiring all these voter IDs and all these voter laws and all this kind of stuff is like taking away a right to vote. It's not. It's just securing it so we don't have, you know. I think it's been a recent controversy of election integrity, so I think that's what they're trying to uphold.
I mean, I guess he's complaining about stuff like voter ID. He didn't really get into it, but I continue to assert that there's nothing unreasonable about voter ID. I mean, you cannot buy a drink, right? You can't pick up a pack of cigarettes. You can't get on an airplane without showing an ID. Why shouldn't you have to show an ID to be able to vote?
Unless he's like referring to how people before were saying how Trump's just going to be in office for like permanently, which he can't do. So
I mean, isn't the longest government shutdown in history evidence of the fact that the guy's not a king? If he was truly someone that had intentions of becoming a monarch, wouldn't he have just called in the military and tried to ram through some of his policies without Congress?
Right. Instead, he let the process play out how it's normally done.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened before in world history, right? I mean, Oliver Cromwell.
My favorite.
Right? Stop it. It's a good movie. You actually would enjoy it. Well, actually, you probably wouldn't. But he said, this is no parliament. He disbanded parliament. He took on kingly powers. This is not that. And I'm just getting tired of it. And I'm tired of the rhetoric from Jen Psaki, from these idiots at CNN, from bad faith actors like Chris Murphy from Connecticut. I'm also getting a little bit fed up with those of you that continue to fall for it. You're trying to live out some kind of weird fantasy. You're not grounded in reality. You don't like Donald Trump's tax policies, his tariff policies, right? You don't like how he combs his hair, whatever. Fine. God bless America. It's your right. My request is that you stop making crap up. Not just because it's so ridiculous that it's annoying, but it's clearly having an impact on our ability to hold this country together. Because there are folks out there that truly are working themselves into a lather because they believe that Donald Trump is trying to become a dictator when there's no basis to believe that. We just found out this week, I don't know if you saw this, Daniel, someone allegedly broke into Alina Habba's office. She's, of course, is the former Trump counsel. She's now serving as the U.S. attorney for New Jersey. Someone broke in, tried to confront her, and then fled. But before they did so, vandalized her office. And this person remains at large. Charlie Kirk, obviously, that's the most extreme and graphic recent example of what happens when leaders don't act responsibly and convince people that they're living in a real life version of V for Vendetta or something like that. But there are more subtle examples that are just, they're tearing at the fabric of what is fundamentally, at the end of the day, folks, a fairly fragile system. A republic is a fragile thing because it's more than just a constitution. It's more than just the sum of the people that are in it. It's also the sum of the virtue that are of the people that are in it. I encourage you to go read what Thomas Jefferson and John Adams had to say back around the time of the American framing. They weren't there at the Constitutional Convention in Philly where we just minted the last penny. They were overseas. Might have been a very different convention if either of those intellectual giants had been there, for better or for worse. But one thing they repeatedly talked about, especially Adams, was the necessity of civic virtue. People aren't perfect. That's part of the reason why we need a constitution. But this American experiment only works to the expense that the American people fundamentally have the virtue to drive it forward. And when they don't have it anymore, we're in deep, deep trouble. Deep, deep doo-doo. No amount of Bella's magic face cream can fix the damage that's been done. But we forge forward, Daniel. That's all we can do. One moisturizing session at a time.
Yep.
What I really need is I really need a pedicure.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I need a pedicure. My feet are like all messed up. They're all like rough and stuff.
Well, I don't know how to help you there.
Well, I think we should go.
Like, is this just like the beauty episode? Like, what is this?
The beauty episode? What are you talking about? We never just talk about politics for 3 hours.
We spent all last segment talking about face care. Now you're talking
I'm so sorry that I'm boring you.
No, you're not. I'm just saying it's a nice change.
It isn't. Oh, so you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah, we're going to tell Greg and Frank that we're switching the program into a new direction.
All right. Well, let's take a break because hour number one is done. Let's bring in our guests here on the other end, and we'll ask them what facial regimes they use.
There you go.
Here on 1210 WPHT. Back in a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back to the Matt Rooney Show, our dose for our bilingual listeners here on 1210 WPHT. Pleased, privileged, all the things, as Gen Z says, to be with you once again for another episode of our little program. Remember, you can listen on Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard, via the Odyssey app, or for those of you that are hip, like producer Daniel, you can listen to the podcast. Odyssey, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon UK is where you get it, right, Daniel?
Zimbabwe, but yes.
Zimbabwe, is that like the cheap Chinese knockoff?
Yeah.
Or the actual country of Zimbabwe?
The actual country of Zimbabwe.
Oh, okay. Well, how multicultural of you.
I told you, I'm multicultural, not... Multi-generational.
Multi-generational is what it was, yeah. Yes. Multi-generational. Yeah. All right, well, we've got a lot more we got to cover this hour, including Dan's Fact of the Week and TikTok at the end of our show, the segment that just won't die. But before we do, we need to unpack Election 2025, but not just the results, right? Because at this point, we're more than a week out. We get it. It sucked. We don't need to relive every blow-by-blow. Republicans got their teeth kicked in. They got their rear end stomped. Pick your metaphor. The question now becomes, where do we go from here? And when I say where do we go from here, yes, I'm talking about winning. I'm talking about protecting all the gains that we've made over the course of the past few years, but also specifically, how do we do that by bringing in the people that were with us in 2024, but either stayed home or bolted in 2025? Hispanic families, black men, young people that are living in their parents' basement but want to get the hell out of those basements. So who better to begin to work this through with than two of our favorite operatives that are working in our region? One is Tom Szymanski. He is a veteran of New Jersey political campaigns, a son of the Jersey Shore. We kicked him out. He's working down in the district these days, but he has been instrumental in congressional campaigns all over the country. Tom, we appreciate you joining us this evening, my friend.
Great to be back, and I only agreed to be here because I heard the great Carlos Cruz was coming on, so this should be a fun hour.
So it's rude when you don't let me introduce him, Tom. It's very bad etiquette.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. He's just saying sorry, and he's not biting back at all. It feels weird. You're supposed to make fun of me back.
Don't worry. It's a long hour.
That is true. We have more time to be mean to each other. But the other guy on our panel is Carlos Cruz of Jamestown, a peerless expert in the mechanics of campaigning. And unlike you, producer Dan, he's actually more than one-eighth Hispanic.
Well,
he didn't lie on his application.
At least we meet that DEI requirement, so...
That's correct. Carlos...
The other seven-eighths...
Bella is actually Hispanic too. Our skincare.
She is 50%.
50%. Our skincare. What was it? Our Estee Bestie?
Estee Bestie.
She's our Estee Bestie. Carlos, thanks for making time for us, bud.
Thanks for having me. This will be fun.
Yeah, it's not a fun topic matter, though, right, in some ways. Although I guess the way we should look at it is there's nowhere to go but up for the Republican movement. Carlos, again, we know what the results were. What the hell happened? Why did Republicans, who did so well in breaking into new communities in 2024, seemingly fall flat on their faces in 2025, just a year later?
I think the honest answer to that question has to be that, to some extent, we accepted that the realignment was here and that all of the voters that Donald Trump attracted were here and they were ours and they were ours forever. Mikey Sherrill and her team put out a memo patting themselves on the back. It was a lot of nonsense, but some of the stuff in there was revelatory. They were the only people talking to Black and Hispanic voters on broadcast, on cable, on digital, on, they were, and we saw this down ballot too. The Democrats were fishing in our pond, and more often than not, we let them.
Now, what do you mean when you say they were in our pond? What was our pond?
There were the Hispanic voters, the Black voters, the multicultural coalition that elected Donald J. Trump to be our 47th president. I think the Democrats played for them very hard. I think the Democrats went after, in our neck of the woods, Matt, South Jersey, they were going after Republicans who voted in primaries. They were going after Republicans who were conservative with a misleading but clever spin that, Jack Cittarelli wanted to raise the sales tax 10%.
Yeah.
The Democrats we make fun of as being, I'm looking for a radio-friendly word, for being very polite and for being pushovers, I don't think sat there and took it this year. I think they brought it and they came over and they went after our voters. In some cases, they might have been the only people talking to them. And in other cases, they were able to hoodwink them. We all play the game about spinning the other person's record, but they were able to hoodwink them and convince them that the Republican wasn't the Republican.
It's fascinating. And this comes at a time, Tom, when despite the fact that Mikey Sherrill just got more votes in New Jersey than anyone's ever gotten, Democrat or Republican. Jack's now number two, interestingly enough, because of how many people voted. Republican registration continues to inch up every month in the guarded state. Republicans chip away 2,000 here, 3,000 there. Democrats, in turn, have been losing voter registration in New Jersey. How do you explain a party, the Democrats, that appear to have less people wanting to affiliate with them, but still have the ability to turn people out in these kinds of numbers?
Well, say what you will about Donald Trump. Great things, not great things. The one thing that has been consistent about him for the last 10 years is that he gets people in the game. He gets people off the bench and into the game. How they participate in the game looks a little bit differently, though, depending on who we're talking about and what election cycle we're talking about them. He has done a remarkable job of attracting non-traditional Republican voters into our tent. White working class voters, Hispanic voters, Black voters, especially Black men. However, we saw last Tuesday what has been kind of a consistent running theme throughout Donald Trump's appearance on the political scene over 10 years ago. And that is that the coalition that Trump has put together, they show up when he's on the ballot, and we have struggled to get them to show up in other cycles for the last 10 years when he's not on the ballot. When Trump's not on the ballot, the Republicans just don't turn out at the same clip that the Democrats do. So Trump has been a perpetual motivating factor for Democrats. They hate his guts. They are fueled by hatred. Not all of them, but most of them. That's kind of a separate topic. So they show up and they vote. They'll crawl over broken glass to vote, whether he's on the ballot, whether he's not on the ballot. Seems like our people will only crawl over hot coals when Trump himself is on the ballot. I think that we need to look in the mirror and kind of think long and hard about what is it that they find appealing about President Trump that the rest of our candidates aren't speaking their language on well enough to motivate them to vote. Because guess what? President Trump is term limited. And he's not going to appear on the ballot again. So we think, right? But we're going to have to figure out how to win without him being there. And we're going to have to do it. And we have no runway for this. The midterm elections are right around the corner. I think that coming into last Tuesday, there was a real sense that with, you know, the Democrats standing right now, which isn't great either, by the way. I know they had a great night last Tuesday, but they're perpetually in poll after poll shown to be low approval ratings, low trust on the economy and a number of other things. So it's not all bad news for us. It's not like the Democrats, I think, that people are bought into their vision. They haven't articulated a vision, and what they have articulated, people don't like. So there is hope for us. But going into last Tuesday, I think there was a big sentiment that, hey, like, even though it's a midterm off year where our party controls the White House, there's a shot for Republicans to hold the House of Representatives. I still think that that's true. I still think that that's very much in the cards. But we have a short runway of how to figure out how to talk to our folks and folks in the middle of the road. We got to do it and do it quickly.
And you mentioned short runway, Tom, to figure all this out. You also mentioned polling. Are the polls ever correct anymore, especially in New Jersey? They were off by 5 in the Democrat direction last time in 2021, underestimated Jack Cittarelli's vote share on election day. This time, twice as wrong in the opposite direction. They were too Republican. I don't know a single person on either side of the aisle that predicted a Cheryl landslide. Carlos, I mean, you and your organization, Jamestown Associates, I mean, you guys have done ads for the President of the United States. You work down ballot races. What the hell are you going to do going forward? How do you advise your clients and figure out a path forward when polling is this unreliable? Or what do polls need to correct? What do pollsters need to adjust for in an age where it seems like they're consistently getting it wrong?
I think it starts with looking at different scenarios. We often say polling is a snapshot, a picture in time. The problem with that is that the picture in time doesn't account for the future incidents. And what I mean by that is a lot of the polling happened in mid-October, early October, late September, before the Democrats hijacked the government and shut it down to play politics, because they folded this week and accepted the same deal that was on the table weeks ago. But to go back to the core question about polling, I think you have to look at it through several different lenses. I think in some of the national polling and some of the statewide polling that we've done in other places, we look at different scenarios. Here's what it looks like if it's 2021. Here's what it looks like if it's 2017. Here's what it looks like if it's somewhere in the middle. I don't think the polling was that wrong, because I think they captured the moment in time before people felt the effect of the shutdown, whether it was their access to food or their access to healthcare, their ability to get on a plane and get to where they needed to go. And I think we didn't do a good job fighting back on the shutdown and hanging it around the Democrats and making them own it. But the polling consistently showed Jack Cittarelli at 43%. Guess what he got on Tuesday?
43%.
So it was right. The polling, Matt and Tom, we spoke often about the rest of the polling was a pick your own adventure on the undecided voter, on the unaffiliated voter, the voter that's not a Democrat, that's not a Republican. They broke pretty heavily against Jack. And I think some polling got that right. I think there were one or two polls that had it at like 8, 9, 10. Mikey's own campaign saw it in the mid-single digits. Kudos to Brent Johnson at the Star Ledger for revealing that truth to us as much as they pat themselves on the back. I think we have to look at it through a couple of different lenses. I think we have to say, you know, here's a high water mark, here's a low water mark. How do we determine what election we're in? You know, that'll go to the locals. And how do we structure our campaigns to sell? A lot of voters, I like to compare campaigns to a small business. They're a million-dollar organization with a single day of sales. And as great as your product and your sales pitch might be today, if there's a material change and it's not the product people want on Tuesday, it's not going to look good. And it's not that you planned wrong. Well, it is that you planned wrong. It's that you didn't anticipate what's coming down the road. So polling, I think, has to be taken in an advisory role. I think we have to look at it through different segments. And I think too often we ask easy questions like, do you oppose a candidate who's going to raise taxes on you? That's always going to come back 60-40 now, like 60-40 against.
Right.
And I think those questions at this point, with people as tuned into politics as they are, I think it's like asking my toddler if he wants ice cream for dinner. Like, the value of the question is not very high. And so if you run around going like, but Mikey Sherrill's going to raise your taxes, people hate that, they're going to vote against her, like, you haven't done enough. You're not learning enough. We all make fun of Mikey, and we will make fun of Mikey, unfortunately, for the next 4 years, because at every turn she tells people she's a helicopter pilot. But what that says is, I served our country. I fought for our freedom. And it gives her this extra edge of toughness that informs people about her in a way that just talking about her issues on her positions on the issues won't. We have to start thinking about that. We have to start thinking about the way we package our candidates and their experiences and how it connects with people and how people can identify with them and ascribe their hopes and dreams and their fears on both our guys and our opponents. I think that's what we have to do with polling.
Are we talking too much to people's heads and not enough to their hearts, Tom? Right? I mean, we don't want to become the left where we're just playing on people's emotions and have nothing to offer. We didn't get a single firm policy prescription out of Mikey Sherrill over the course of that entire campaign. But is that part of the problem right now at the federal and the state level?
Well, I don't know about federal. You know, I think it's certainly a case-by-case basis, you know, depending on what we're talking about. But, yeah, I think too often campaigns do try to – they don't speak enough to people's hearts. The last thing you want to do is prey on people's emotions, right? But let's face it, voters vote based on emotion a lot of times. It's not always a logical choice that is being made.
Well, and it could be negative or positive, right?
That's right. I mean,
like we just talked about how many people showed up and voted just because they hate Donald Trump.
That's right. That's 100% right. I mean, before he, had his differences, shall I say, with the president, there's really no denying that in his time, Chris Christie was a heck of a politician in the state of New Jersey. He had two very successful statewide campaigns. Love him, hate him, doesn't matter. Not relevant to what I'm about to say. And what I'm about to say is that early on, I remember going to a lot of his town hall meetings. I know you do too, Matt, where he would close with a story about how, you know, he was Mr. like, tell it like it is, certainly the beginning anyway, right? But that was his brand, right? He was almost in a sense like Trump before Trump on a kind of smaller scale. That was his brand. Authentic, tell it like it is, what have you. Earned him a lot of favors with people, and it certainly earned a lot of detractors. But that being said, the last thing he would say at every town hall meeting was a story about his late mother, who was near the end of her life and who he went to visit in her final days. And she apparently, as so the story goes, woke up and said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, I came to be with you, Mom." And she said, she looked at her watch and said, "It's Tuesday. It's lunchtime. Go to work. There's nothing left unsaid between us." And that was sort of the way Chris Christie would tell the story of why he is the way he is. There was nothing left. I don't leave anything unsaid between me and the other person. And he tells the story, obviously, a lot better than I do. I mean, it was his life and his experience. But you would look around at these meetings and there would be tears streaming down people's faces, men, women, young, old. And you know, that story was told several hundred times in between the day that he won by 4 points in 2009 and the day that he won by 24 points in 2013. That's a long-winded anecdote, but to simplify it a little bit, Matt, I think that candidates that tell the, I always say, and Carlos is good at this, he's a master storyteller, he's an ad maker after all, but the people who make the best candidates are the ones who tell the best stories. And it's not always the person who has the best story, like in terms of biographical traits, but it's about taking your experience and your mindset and translating it into a story about how you meet this moment in time and why you're best suited to advocate on behalf of the voters, right? So the people who are best able to tell good stories about themselves and weave it in with the issues of the day are usually the ones who are most successful. Could we be better storytellers? Yeah, probably. In some cases, I'm not going to say, you know, who was or wasn't around the state good at that in this past Tuesday's election, but you and I would always joke, Matt, in 2022, the midterm elections in 2022, we would see the same cookie cutter ad, never from Carlos, by the way, but we'd see the same cookie cutter ad in any given House race across the country. It would be candidate Joe Blow in a button down like powder blue shirt in a grocery store holding up a carton of eggs saying, "Look at the price of these eggs. You believe how much these cost and how much they used to cost?" And it was the same thing. Like everyone, Matt and I used to joke in 22 that it was the "look at these eggs" campaign. We get it. Stuff is more expensive. What is it about you that makes you uniquely qualified to do something about it?
And as we kind of wind this down, guys, you know, winning back these Trump voters, Hispanic families, black men, young men and women who took a chance on Donald Trump. Isn't that part of what we need to do? We need to demonstrate for them that we actually have a compelling plan forward. We need to have ideas that are actually going to make their life better in a concrete way. And how do you communicate that?
I think to everyone's point on this, we tend to be the party of a 10-point plan, and each one of those bullet points has 12 sub-bullets that cover, you know, what the tax policy is, right, if it's raining on a Wednesday versus if it's sunny and 80 on a Friday. You know, Matt, I think you gave like 5 points last week. I have two. I don't like two bullet lists, but that's all I've got at the moment. I think the first thing you have to do is you just have to say the thing. You just have to say the damn thing. What is it that you're going to do? Like, how are you going to connect? We all talk about Mikey Sherrill's plan to freeze your electric bill at their current historic highs. And in like, "Oh, it's unconstitutional. It's not legal. The last time they did it was a terrible idea." What it showed voters was that she had a plan, good or bad, she had a plan.
Right.
It was easy to digest, and that she sympathized with your pain, that you were paying through the nose to keep your house at 72 degrees, and that something needed to be done about it. So good, bad, or indifferent. And she said it in every ad. Over and over and over. And the second thing is, say it in English. Like, we speak Washington, we speak Trenton, we speak deep policy. It is not relatable to people who are going about their everyday lives, trying to get their kids to soccer, trying to put food on the table, trying to get some modicum of sleep. And if they have to Google what you said in the ad, then you lost.
Can I?
It has to be. Yeah.
Well, I will go. I'll be a little more blunt on Carlos. Carlos is 100% right, but I'll give a specific example real quick, and I'll let him finish his point of the way that just didn't work this year. Republicans had no clear, concerted message on energy. What the assembly candidates were saying was different from what the gubernatorial candidate was saying. There was no unity in messaging. Mikey Sherrill, I'm going to freeze rates on day one. Easy, bold, understandable. Whether it's feasible or not, doesn't really matter. It's understandable and digestible. Republicans, the best that they came up with was attacking Phil Murphy, who's not on the ballot. And this is not a shot at anybody or any one candidate or anything like that. It's just a general observation from a guy who watches from a 30,000-foot view a couple states away now at this point. So I will admit and concede I was not there on the ground. But we're attacking Phil Murphy. Why are you attacking a guy who's not on the ballot? That's number one that I think that was not good. Number two, the second most clear and consistent talking point on energy was, well, we're going to attack the BPU. The BPU. How many people – raise your hand. Well, if you're in your car, right? Raise your
hand. Honk your horn.
Honk your horn if you've heard of the BPU. The BPU is a board of appointed, unelected bureaucrats who dictate energy policy in Trenton. And yes, they were and are most directly responsible for the rate increases that we're seeing across the state. But we don't have the time, energy, or money to educate voters on all of that bureaucracy. So it just wasn't very crisp. And she won the debate on that particular issue anyway. So I'm sorry to steal your time, Carlos.
Even though she's wrong. Point doesn't make any sense. New Jersey froze electric rates. And Christy Todd Whitman on her way out the door froze electric rates. It caused them to balloon in Jim McGreevy's first term or only term. It's a socialist price control nightmare. But Zoran Mamdani, the new mayor of New York City, the incoming 30-year millennial socialist, I'm going to preempt, but the third bullet is people should be able to talk about your race when they're grabbing coffee, when they're exchanging looks, when they're walking past each other. I can tell you what Mamdani ran on. He's going to freeze your rent. He's going to have fast and freeze buses, and he's going to provide free childcare. Kathy Hochul, who endorsed him and got him elected and got him over the finish line in New York State, the governor of New York State, came out the day after he was elected and was like, well, the bus thing isn't happening because the state runs the buses and provides the majority of the funding. It's like, we're not doing that. But it connected with people where they are right now. And I'm saying find the thing that you're comfortable with, but that is in English. Zoran didn't say, I'm going to petition the legislature to reduce the cost of bus. He just said he's going to make them fast and free. It's simple. Right. It's easy. Right. It's understandable.
I'm not going to convene a council that's going to study it over the course of the next millennium.
And Republicans love doing that. We're going to do a blue ribbon commission that will appoint a charter study that will conduct polling on the issue and then propose 7 legislative ideas. No, I'm going to fix it. This sucks. I'm going to fix it. So people have to be able – you've got to say the thing. You've got to say it in English. And if people can't – if your neighbors can't talk about your campaign while they're grabbing coffee at Wawa and running to work, and your campaign isn't going to be successful. I think those are my, you had Matt Rooney's five bullets last week that were very, very good. You know, I'm attempting to steal his thunder with my three bullets of what you should do if you're running the campaign.
No, it's very appropriate to end this segment with a Wawa reference and complimenting me. That's the perfect way to go out, Carlos. That's why you're good at what you do. Carlos Cruz and Tom Szymanski, everyone. Two of the finest guys in the game, both because they're just quality dudes, but also they know what they're talking about. If you didn't know that already, you do now. Gentlemen, we're going to be talking more, whether we like it or not, trying to figure this out. But I appreciate you making time for us.
Let's make it a regular thing. I'll even I'll Amtrak up to the studio if you can, you know, buy me a six pack or something.
I think we can.
I'll buy the six pack. I think
we can make that happen. You get some free face cream from producer Dan, and it'll be a hell of an evening.
Don't say it like that.
I'm not privy to the inside joke, and I'm not sure I want to be. But okay.
You can listen to the rest of the podcast. It's not going to make any more sense.
Fair enough.
Just like this past election, gentlemen, love having you. We are going to make it a regular thing, folks. We're steaming along here in the second hour, but don't worry. We still got plenty of time left here on the Matt Rooney Show. Let's take a quick break to fill those coffee mugs, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Well, Ariana Grande is known for saying some mind-bending stuff, and I'm being somewhat polite there. According to Fandom Pulse, it's an entertainment blog, she apparently has declared that Oz has always been a queer place. That's the actual quote, Daniel. Actress and singer Ariana Grande, who played Galinda in Wicked, claims that Oz has always been queer. The exact quote is, "We love you, we love you, we love you, and Oz has always been a queer place, a safe place for queer people, for every different color of the rainbow, for everybody. Read the L. Frank Baum books. It's the truth. You're safe with us. We love you so much. The gayer, the better."
I don't think that's how the original Wizard of Oz was.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm going to be real with you. I don't think that's what they had in mind.
Nothing against our gay friends, ladies and gentlemen, but I missed that.
It was a yellow brick road, not a rainbow brick road.
Yes, a little bit of rewriting of, not history, because Oz isn't real history, but...
You... Take that back.
I'm sorry, Toto.
The band?
Yeah, we could sing Africa if you want. I'm going to buy Bella's face cream. Bah, bah, bah.
It's wash, man. Stop saying cream. It's wash.
What is the difference?
A lot. I don't know, man. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
They do have a better podcast name than we do. Apparently, Ariana shared a graphic from a podcast called A Bitty Fruity Podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
We can do an itty bitty Hispanic.
We could. We could, which is accurate.
Yeah.
Has the benefit of being factually true.
Or we could do like multigrain and rye.
Oh, yes. Unlike my hearty white.
We could also do that, rye and Hardy White as a name.
This is a show of many breads.
Why aren't Frank and Greg on this? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. There's so many marketing opportunities that are just being lost.
Hardy White and his sidekick, Itty Bitty Hispanic.
the Itty Bitty Hispanic. As you come from the ceiling with a pulley.
Speedy Gonzalez.
Every week we try to get canceled, and yet they still continue to air this damn thing.
I haven't heard any complaints. All I hear is, wow, such a good show.
Such a good show, and we are trying to get canceled.
Honestly, all week I ask myself, how can I really push the boundary a little bit? But not cross the line.
And you are to quote the great Dave Chappelle, a habitual line stepper, Daniel.
Yep.
That's what you are. And if you don't believe me when I say it, I'm going to give you all the proof you need here in just a second with the next and final segment of today's Matt Rooney Show. It's one we have all the time. Remind everybody what it's called, Daniel.
I have to hold on. I was not prepared. I'm sorry.
You were not prepared?
No.
Were you face washing?
Yeah, I was. I got it, though.
Hey, guys, gather around. Gather around.
It's Twit Talk time.
It's depraved. It's perverted. It's crass.
I wasn't prepared because I didn't have it at the ready.
You weren't at the ready?
I didn't have it at the ready.
Well, for shame.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Try to make it up to us.
Well, before we go into Twit Talk, you want a fact? Just so we can, like, you know, have a good peace of mind before we go into it.
Oh, you wanna cleanse the palate a little bit before we dive into Twit Talk? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, let's get a little fact going, and then we'll.
All right, so Dan did not get enough airtime on the show tonight. That's his way of saying it, folks. So he wants more time. All right, go ahead, give us a fact.
No, we just got to make time up. That's what we got to do.
All right, give us your fact. Educate us.
You watch football, right? Like on Thanksgiving?
I mean, it's on in the background.
But you occasionally watch it.
I occasionally watch it. Yeah.
Okay, well, that started in 1876 between Yale and Princeton.
The first Thanksgiving football game
was between Yale and Princeton, and the first NFL games were played on Thanksgiving in 1920.
Interesting. Was that the Lions and the Bears?
I can give it to you. Hold on.
That's my guess.
It was... the Rochester Jeffersons hosting the Lumberjacks.
What?
Yeah. The Rochester Jeffersons hosting the Al Tonawanda Lumberjacks.
I said NFL.
Yeah. That's the first Thanksgiving Day NFL game were played in 1920 with the Rochester Jeffersons hosting the Al Tonawanda Lumberjacks.
No, this is not accurate. No, so this is wrong. You're wrong, because I'm looking this up now.
Okay.
This is... All right, November 25th, 1920, the Lumberjacks versus the Jeffersons.
That was a Thanksgiving... Another one was...
Wasn't that the American Professional Football Association before it came the NFL?
The first official NFL Thanksgiving game was Akron Pros defeating the Canton Bulldogs.
Oh, look at this. You are right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Look, it's an even better fact of the week when I challenge it, but it holds up.
Yes. So it wasn't actually the NFL. I guess it really technically wasn't the NFL at that point.
I would have Rochester Jefferson's jersey. I mean, is that the Thomas Jeffersons or is that like the Jeffersons the television show? Either way, I want a t-shirt.
It was the Ohio League, supposedly.
Oh, and it looks like they wore a red jersey with Jeff's in cursive on it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, we're I know what I'm getting you for Christmas now.
A member of the NFL, 1920 to 1925. Well, we see how that worked out for them.
Yeah, right. The Jeffersons know more, but we're bringing them back.
Anyway, back to our originally scheduled program.
Well, sorry for that interruption to educate everybody.
Right. We're going to do some more education.
No, I don't know if we can call it that. We may actually get sued if we try to pass Twit Talk off as pedagogical.
What you know about Chili's?
Oh, I love Chili's.
The triple dipper?
I'll tell you what my favorite always was, the quesadilla explosion salad.
Last time I ate Chili's, I ended up in the hospital, so I don't really eat Chili's anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of Chili's, or was it incidental to your visit?
No, it was completely something unrelated to Chili's, but I ate Chili's before. I had a chicken bacon ranch quesadilla, and then I ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, I could see where that would... sully your memory.
Turns out I had no stomach lining.
Oh. Well, we already heard all about your sensitive skin.
So that was fun.
By the way, we blew all the way past the fact that Bella needs to use free and clear detergent so you don't break out hives. That's going to be next week's episode.
That's been a thing since I was a little kid.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well,
My mom always done that.
We're going to explore that more in the future. But let's talk more about Chili's in your stomach line.
How many margaritas do you get at Chili's?
I mean, I've had one of the big ones before.
Okay, well, you're doing it wrong, according to our friend here.
Okay.
If you're not coming to Chili's to absolutely act up, what are you doing? You don't come here to order just one margarita. You better have two in front of you at all times, and then we're definitely going to have the queso, and we're going to have chips and salsa, and we're going to talk shit. That's why we come to Chili's, to get annihilated and talk shit. I will be throwing my ass somewhere at some club. I don't care, but I will be having a good time. I might climb a tree. I don't know. And I'm definitely going to throw my ass. So come to Chili's. Let's, you know, maybe black out, have a good time. And remember, order more than one margarita. Order two. Thank you.
I've never heard of anyone better encapsulate the spirit of Chili's.
Also, if I sent you the video, you had like seven margaritas around him.
I was going to say, there's no way.
He was double fisting it.
There's no way that guy only had two. Who was he kidding?
Two in his hand.
So. Yeah, right. He currently was drinking two, but his limit that evening was not two.
Yeah.
Baby.
So next time you got to go, you got to get the chips and queso, shake some ass. Talk some crap and get two margaritas.
I guess to you that's something interesting and special. For me, that's just Tuesday night.
Taco Tuesday. What you know about double standards?
There's a lot of them in this world of ours.
Well, this guy, I think, sums it up perfectly. And I just want an explanation coming from a lawyer.
Question. Why is my sexuality on the chopping block every time I post a selfie or two because I feel a little handsome, but my homegirls can drink two or three margaritas and play tongue twister with each other and nobody bats an eye? I mean, they even record it.
Is this happening at Chili's? Is this also a Chili's thing?
Oh, no, this is not a Chili's. It can, though.
I mean... You know, you might play tongue twister at Chili's.
I mean,
after a couple of those giant margaritas.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe.
Who is this guy hanging out with? Who is he exposed to?
I don't know. You want to go into his family history?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, who are these people just randomly hooking up?
Hey, man. 2020 was wild.
I guess it was. Pandemic.
Speaking of
Got to stay warm.
Yeah. Yep. You had to nuzzle up with someone you don't know.
Yeah.
Speaking of family trees, we have another one of our songs. This time we get introduced to one of the cat's new family members. I want to see if you can keep up.
I'll try.
I have a cousin, Cletus, who mommy really dreads. Maybe because she's gluten-free and says he isn't bread. His parents came to visit, and their teeth haunt my dreams. I think they're just out of cash. I hear they share jeans. She said she likes to ride cowgirl out in the old country. Though it's strange, she said never in reverse. I guess she won't turn her back on family. Then mommy kicked them out.
Oh, and no. That's wrong. I gotta go to confession now.
Are you a flat earther?
No, but it sounds like she is. Yeah. No, I'm not, but I'm familiar with the concept.
Okay, well, this guy makes a perfect example of if our earth is round and the moon's round.
If the moon is responsible for moving the waves in the ocean, then shouldn't the entire Earth be flooded since the moon orbits the planet? Isn't that concerning?
The music's concerning. If I'm anywhere where that music comes on, man, my back is to the wall and I'm looking for the exit. Just throwing that out there.
We're on mushrooms, one of the two.
or on mushrooms.
Here's a sneak peek of our next one.
Yeah! Oh, come on. I talk about TwitTok and I throw a lot of shade at it, but can I be real with you for a second?
Yeah.
This is the only thing I hate on TwitTok.
All right, we can skip it.
No, we got to do it. This isn't about me.
We can skip it.
No, it's for you. It's for the audience.
No, I don't care. We don't have to.
No, you kids have fun. We'll listen to her. Go ahead.
I wonder if guys think, like, maybe, like, their peener is a caterpillar, and perhaps when they stick it in a maybe it'll hatch into a beautiful butterfly. Maybe that's what it's all for.
All right, I regret it.
Yeah, I told you could have skipped it.
We should have.
Are you familiar with the term moo-moo?
Yes, I am.
But you wear to bed?
Yeah, I'm wearing one right now.
What are you, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I painted you a picture.
Yeah.
Time for bed. I got my hair mask in. I got on my sexy moo-moo. This one's the sexy moo-moo because it accentuates my... I have my wine. And yeah. My man does f*** me in the moo-moo. Does your man f*** you in your moo-moo?
Moving on.
I told you, folks. He's always just trying to make me uncomfortable. That's the only purpose of this entire damn segment.
Yeah, I get uncomfortable too.
Do your worst. Yeah, you do. I can tell.
You know, to me, they don't sound bad. And then I actually play them and I'm like, oh, wait.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. The Matt Rooney Show. It's unfortunate.
Like that last one, I was like, that's fine. And then I played it again. I was like, oh, that's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
To end it off, our favorite comedian, Thivon.
Do it.
You got to be careful, man. I think because I noticed this in my life. If you take a woman to a certain restaurant, they want that lifestyle. Dude, I was dating a girl in LA for a bit. I took her over there to Rainforest Cafe. 3 weeks later, that moved to St. Thomas and married a brother, St. Thomas. But yes, that's living out there gambling. Place a bet with me. She's living out there on St. Thomas, wearing a grass skirt and married to some guy who played in the NBA DL out there. G League. Oh, because I'm out here getting that apps over here at Rainforest Cafe. But what I'm saying is be careful. You take your lady to P.F. Chang's and next thing you know, she got all your shit all f***ing chip chopped out at the house, lamp shades and everything, motherfuckers. She got a stack of books and then two ninjas just pushing against each side of them. She got you brushing your teeth with a damn bamboo stick or whatever. And that's your money buying all of that.
Whew. He said that with a straight face on his show, by the way.
That's the thing that blows my mind about the man. I would get 2 seconds in and I would lose it.
Yeah, he said that with a straight face.
The level of discipline. Something we just don't possess here on this little program, but we do our damnedest, folks. That's it. That's another episode of the Matt Rooney Show. But don't worry, we'll be back again next Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m. here on 1210 WPHD. Until then, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.